Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcast. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us, please check out our website at www.hisloveministries.net. Thank you.
He rules the world.
Be back in Ephesians this morning, and we're going to be in verse 20 today. Last week we talked about the four things, the negative part of putting off, and today we're going to talk about the putting on, the new man, putting on the new things. But last week we talked about that we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the uselessness of her mind, that first of all, that the Gentiles, the people that don't know the Lord, are self-centered, that their thinking is useless, they don't accomplish anything. And then he said that their understanding was darkened. That means that they were being alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance. The second thing is they were ignorant. And then the third thing they said, who being that because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That the third thing is they're shameless. And the last thing is they have a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind means a mind that's basically just doesn't want anything to do with God. That's Romans 1:18 to the end of the chapter. Although they knew God, they didn't worship God. For this reason, God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them over to do the things which were fitting in their own mind. They worshiped the creature rather than the creator. Today we're going to talk about four positive things. This is really the opposite side of the negative things. So we'll read verses 20 through 24, and then we'll try to get through that today. He says, in Ephesians 4, verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. What happens here? The first thing he says, notice, remember last week we talked about the focus on the mind, right? You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, they are ignorant. And then when he gets to verse 20, he says, but you have not so learned Christ. The first thing is he says, that the old man is self-centered, he's futile. And I talked about how I know some of these guys, even though they get out of the lifestyle, they still have a self-centered way of living, that it's all about them, right? And that's what happens when you get that far down the road. I mean, we're all kind of self-centered. We always put us first, usually. And as Christ works on us, he begins to get others. He says, you know, in Philippians 2, not to seek the your own things, but to seek the things of others, put other people first, right? That's what he tells us in Philippians chapter 2. And then he says, and have this mind which was also in Christ Jesus, because Christ had that mind, right? He put others first, and that he not only thought of himself, but he thought of others. And that's why he went to the cross, right? So we're to put other people first, not that we're to ignore our needs, but we're to treat others as better than ourselves. And so what does he say? But you have not so learned Christ. Now, I don't know exactly what he's saying here as far as learn Christ and the fact that one man said that he might have been talking about Christ. And you know what? You have to learn the truth before you can know Christ, right? I mean, unless you know the truth that Jesus died on the cross, died for your sins, died in your place, that you're a sinner, you cannot trust Christ. And so you have to learn something before you can recognize that you're a sinner, and then you can make that profession of faith. So I think he's probably talking about the fact that when they came to Christ, they did not learn anything different. They didn't learn this old way of living. They learned a new way of living, right? Thinking about that old song, everybody's talking about a new way of walking. Well, you know what? Guess what? This is a new way of walking. And it's a new way of walking in Jesus Christ, right? And so the first contrast is the old self is the old man. The old self is self-centered, right? And useless. But the new person, the new man, when I say man, the Bible uses the term man, but it uses that term anthropos, which means mankind, right? And so when I say man, I'm talking about men and women. The old man, the old woman, the old man, the old woman is self-centered. The new man, the new woman is Christ-centered. And so that's the difference. Remember that it's useless, he says in Jeremiah 29, what is it, verse 11, where he says, I know the plans that I have for you, not for despair and for destruction, but for what? A hope and a future, right? And so the old man, he's useless. He doesn't have any purpose. He doesn't have any meaning to life. He doesn't have anything to look forward in life. But the person that knows Christ, what do they have? We have a purpose, right? We have a plan. We have something to live for because God has given us he's made us a new creation. He's given us a new power. He's given us a new hope. He's given us a new future. He's given us a new want to live for Him. He's given us a new ability to live for Him. And He's given that new power, right? That we're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all He asks. He's able to do according to His power that works in us mightily, right? What did Paul say? That the life he now lives, he lives. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live, now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So basically, what does Paul say? Paul says that the life he lives now is because Christ lives in him, right? And so it's a purposeful life. Jesus said one day to those who were around him, learn of me. And just think about this. We're not running around in a circle, but we have a plan, we have a purpose. And one man said, every day is a new fantastic adventure because I'm right in the middle of God's unfolding plan for my life. And that's the way it is if you know the Lord and you're seeking His will in your life, that even here, that God can use you, right? He can use people anywhere if they know Christ. And the fact that you're here and you're still breathing and you're still alive, and if you know the Lord, means that guess what? God's not through with you yet, right? It means He has something for you to do. There are people that are on staff here. There are people who live here. There are people that need the Lord in this facility that maybe you interact with every single day. They need the Lord. Maybe some of them needs encouragement. Some of them need a friend. Some of them are lonely. Whatever it is, that you can be there for them. And you have a purpose, right? We don't have a self-centered emptiness, but we have a purpose in life. First of all, we have a purpose in life. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. In other words, this old way of living is not the way you were taught, right? You were taught a new way of walking, a new way of living. He says, secondly, he says, if indeed, in verse 21, and I'm not an English major. My son graduated as an English major, and I guess he knows all these things, and I don't really know them, but I don't understand why they do this. But this is what you call a first-class conditional if, which when he says, if indeed, he says, what he's saying is, since you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying, since. I mean, when the devil, he says, the devil says to Jesus that day, he says, if you're the Son of God, do this. If you're the Son of God. He wasn't asking if he was the Son of God. He knew he was the Son of God, right? He says, since you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. Since you're the Son of God, jump off of here. And it, since you're the Son of God. So that's what he says here. Since indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. Supposedly that if indeed puts emphasis on that. But I guess it confuses people that don't understand that if you don't know what's going on there. He says, since indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So the second thing, instead of being ignorant of the truth, as in verse 18, guess what? We know the truth. We know Jesus, right? What does he say in John 14:6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. And people who have always been lied to all their life, I've found a lot of times guys in the prison, the harder you preach to them and the tougher the things are that you preach at them, the more they tend to listen because you know what? They've been lied to all their life and they're hungry for the truth. They want the truth. And you know, this world is a world that, what was that book? They had some kind of thing, a book or something, Today America Told the Truth or something. But you know what? This whole world, I mean, if you look around, about everything's built on a lie, isn't it? I mean, they lie to us every single day about just about everything. The news people lie to us. I think I've told y'all the story one time before about my uncle lived over in Saudi Arabia or something. I forget what's the, there was a little old island or a little old place over there, and I can't remember what it's called right this second. Maybe it'll come back to me. But on the news every day, I was like hearing about all these bombs blowing up, all these things happening over there every day. And I asked him one day, I said, aren't you scared being over there with all them bombs? He said, what bombs? And I got friends of mine that have worked for Gulfstream and they've lived over in Israel. And they talk about all these shots and they keep showing the same old things over and over again. He says, and he had to tell his wife, and then his wife had to tell her mother after she lived there a while, those things aren't even near us. They're way over somewhere else, and they make it look like on TV that every day that they're, he was in Kuwait, was there at Zat, and where my uncle was at, this little old place. He said, that place isn't but about 4 miles square. If something was blowing up, I would have known. If something was blowing up in Kuwait, but I was there every day on the news, something was blowing up in Kuwait. And then I come to find out that my uncle lived there, and he says, that's a bunch of baloney. And so they lie to us every day. But you know what? We have the truth. And that's what we have come to faith. And one man said it this way, to come to him in faith is to come from death to life, from condemnation to justification, from sin to sanctification, and from ignorance to true wisdom. And so, instead of being ignorant, that's what true repentance is about, right? Coming to Jesus Christ and changing your mind about that old way of living, about the lies and about all the deceitfulness and all those things. That's what he says. Because he tells us right there in verse 22, he says that you put off concerning your former conduct, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Now, there's a sense in this verse 22, and verse 22 says that you put off. Now guess what? There's two senses. I was trying to remember how one guy puts it. He says it talks about the already and the not now. In other words, this is a sense in which when you trusted Christ, if you trusted Christ, guess what? You put off the former man because you were made a what? New creation. But what did I just talk about? There's a sense in the moment you come to Christ, what happens? God forgives you. God saves you. In the eyes of God, we are perfect because of what? Jesus Christ's blood, right? His payment for our sin on the cross. But you know what? When you first come to Christ, and even the rest of your life until you die, you know what the process is? Is putting off the old man, putting off them old ways of living, right? And that'll never be done until we get to heaven when Jesus gives us a glorious body and he gets rid of this old body that wants to live the other way. Because what did Paul say? Paul talked about that the things I want to do, I don't do, right? And the things I want to do, I don't do them. And so he says, if I want to do it, I don't do it. And if I don't want to do it, I do that. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? And he said, oh, wretched man that I am. And so we talk about that we turn to God. And one man said it this way. He says, so first of all, we learn Christ and we let him think for us. And then we know the truth about God, the truth about man, the truth about sin, Christ, creation, death, life, forever, history, relationships, salvation, happiness, purpose, meaning, heaven, hell, faith, grace. We know the truth about all of that. And that's why as we live, we begin to put off some of that sin, right? We begin to live in a sense that we start to put those things away. And so there's a sense that we're perfect in the eyes of God, and He has made us a new creation, but then every day we have to begin to change the way we live. And that's what He talks about here, verse 23. The third thing, not only do we know the truth before we were ignorant, the third thing is that instead of being shameless, instead of having no morality, the third thing is we are sensitive to sin. Look what he says here. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now what is that? Romans 12:1-2 says, do not, I beseech you, brethren, by the what? Mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. You know, holy and conform to Christ, and don't be conformed to this world, but what? Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's that concept of the mind again, right? And what is the mind? The mind is that thing that's set on Christ, right? It's the inner man. We got the old man, the outer man, the flesh, that remembers the old way of living. That's why Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? This old flesh is what makes us sin, right? I mean, Paul says, with my mind, I serve God, but with the flesh, I serve sin. And so what happens? This old body, that's the reason why when we die, if we know Christ, what happens? Our souls go into heaven. And then later on in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, what does he say? That the dead in Christ shall rise, and that we who are alive shall rise, and we shall meet him in the air. What's rising? The bodies. It's not, because the soul is already with Jesus, right? Because Paul said to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. He said to live as Christ, to die as gain. So when we die, if we know Christ, there's no purgatory. There's no holding place. There's no soul sleep. As some people have said, you won't find those in your Bible. But what you will find is to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so if he was going to soul sleep or there was a purgatory, he couldn't say to live as Christ, to die is gain. He passes on straight to heaven, and so we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. So guess what? We are have this mind that wants to serve Christ, but this old body wants to do the things of the flesh, right? And so that's why Paul says get rid of this body. And so God's going to take the soul, and then one day he's going to bring our body, and he says in 1 Corinthians 15 that he's going to take this corruptible body and give us a glorious body, that this body won't want to sin anymore. And then we'll have a mind that knows Christ, and then we'll have a body that'll serve Christ. And then guess what? We don't have to worry about fighting sin anymore. Because as Christians, what do? If we know Christ, every day we have a battle with sin, don't we? We have to battle the old attitudes. You know, as we trust Christ, what happens? We have these old attitudes, these old outlooks, these old ways of living. And you know, when we first come to Christ, he puts his finger on the big things, the outward things. But the longer we know Christ, it comes down to the fact that we have to get rid of the things that are in here. We have to watch getting bitter and hateful and mean and unforgiving towards people, or just getting rid of some of those things that are already there, right? Because guess what? This is where the battle's at. Be renewed in the mind. That's where the battle's at. That's why I said your TV. All these things that we look at every day or we're exposed to is why we get exposed to them, because the devil knows that if he can expose us to those things, then eventually we do what? Accept them, right? Every day Paul's cry was, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And that would be our cry every day if we really look at ourselves and realize that we don't measure up to the standard of God, because guess what? None of us do, right? We don't measure up to the standard of God. And so he says here, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then the last thing he says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so what does he say here? He says you put on the new man. And that's a sense in which it's already been done, because when we trusted Christ, we put on the new man, right? But there's also a sense in which he says you have to put on the new man. You have to put on the right things. You have to begin living the right way. Somebody a long time ago came up with a saying, let go and let God. You just don't let go and let God. There's a sense in which everything in life, God is sovereign. God's going to work His will out. God's going to do what He wants to do. But you know what? He always expects us to do our part. Did you know that? And that's what we call human responsibility. God's sovereign and man is responsible. And I don't know how that works. All I can tell you is the Bible says, whosoever believes in me shall not perish. The Bible says, none comes unless the Father draws him. But he says, unless you come to me, you're not going to make it into heaven, right? So he makes us responsible, but yet he says, I draw you unless I draw you. And then there's so many other places that he talks about that. You know, work out that which God is working in you, Philippians 2. You got to bring out which is already in you. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Take off the deeds of the flesh. Put on the new man. Take off those old stinky clothes. Like they told Lazarus. He says, loose him and let him go. Get rid of them old stinky grave clothes, right? Get rid of those old stinky sins that smell in the eyes of God and put on the new man. And so it says in Colossians 2:6, as you have therefore received Christ, so walk in Him. One of the things that I kind of skipped over a minute ago, I just want to back up for just 1 second. Verse 22, he talks about those deceitful lusts. I just wanted to say that word about those lusts. Lust is, we use it a lot of times in the terms of sexual, but lust just means any kind of urge. Lust means anything you want to do that you know, it's like overeating or oversleeping or watching too much TV. I want to do this, right? That's why Paul said, the things I want to do, I don't do. Those are the right things, but the things I don't want to do, I end up doing them, because these urges get him, right? That's an urge. And I just wanted to say one thing about the urges. These urges that arise out of the old self-life, they're utterly valueless. They do not do anything for us. They promise not much, but they deliver nothing. Do you know that? The deeds of the flesh deliver absolutely nothing. You can talk to people out there and they've got all the money and they've got all the cars and they've got all the things and all the stuff, and talked about the people that have the Super Bowl rings and the fight championships or the skating Olympic medals, and guess what? When they get it, they go, is this all there is to it? Because they realize they were expecting some great wow, I've arrived now. And they go, oh, there's got to be more to life. And the only way you get that more in life is knowing Jesus Christ, right? And so the last thing we want to talk about is that we talked about in verse 24, you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And so the fourth thing we have here, that when we know Christ, that we are truly holy and we are truly righteous. And so we got to put on that new man. We're sensitive to sin. When we look at this, we see that he says that we are created according to God in true righteousness and true holiness. What is righteousness? Just means right living. Just means right living. And, you know, like I said about the world, that the whole world just lies and does. And, you know, we're tempted to shade the truth. And probably every day we probably don't quite tell all the truth, and not always all the time. But we are tempted all the time to shade the truth or change something just a little bit. But true righteousness means being right in the eyes of God, in the eyes of man. Also, we have true holiness. What is holiness? I mean, that's a word that scares people, isn't it? Holiness. We think of some guy, some pious Joe, some pious somebody, Louise or somebody, but we think of somebody that's the picture of holiness, but think about the word in a different way. How about, let's use the word wholeness. Wholeness. What happened at the moment that Adam and Eve sinned? They lost the God part, right? They died in their spirit. So they're not whole. Was it, I can't remember his first name, but Pascal, the great mathematician, what did he say? That every man, woman, boy, and girl has a God-shaped vacuum. And the only thing that will fill that is God. There's a hole in every person's life. There's something missing in every person's life. And everybody seeks to fill that in a different way unless they know Christ. Some through drugs, alcohol, relationships, kids, money, power, jobs, whatever. You fill in the blank. But you know what? The only thing that will fulfill you is Jesus Christ. And so the moment you trust Jesus Christ, you become a whole person again. You become the person that you're supposed to be, a whole man as God intended us to be. And we're afraid to put off the old man because we're afraid what we're going to be left with. But you know what? We miss out on the greatest things in life by not putting off the old man, by not becoming the whole man. One man said it this way, and I don't know where this originally came from, but, you know, basically, a lot of times we won't put off the old man, and we refuse to give up certain sins in our life, certain areas in our life, and we hang on to these things, and we hold on to them, and what it ends up doing is hurting us instead of helping us, right? Because God doesn't want just some of us, He wants all of us, right? And we miss out on the best in our life because we do that. And some people say, well, you know, I've tried the Christian life and I've tried to put this sin away and I've tried that. And God only works that way in certain people. You know, it doesn't work in my life and all these things. But that's not really true. The problem is we're not really willing to put those things aside because either, number one, we don't want to, or number two, we're afraid what would happen if we do. Because we don't know what's going to replace it. Jesus talked about that. He talked about the man that cleaned up his life. And then seven spirits worse than the first came in and took over him, right? He cleaned up his life, but he didn't replace it. And what happens in the Christian life is we get rid of the old things and we replace them with new things, with new habits. Instead of being ignorant, we know the truth. Instead of being shameless, we have moral sensitivity. And it's sort of like when a man's drowned, and what do? You squeeze the water out of his lungs, right? Not to kill him, but to help him breathe, right? And so what you're wanting to do is get rid of that which is killing him. And guess what? You know what's killing us? Sin. And we need to squeeze all of that sin out so that God can come in and fill our life up, being filled with the Holy Spirit, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants us to do. And so when we put off the old man and put on the new man, then guess what? We have a whole new way of living. And everything becomes different. And so, you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1:3 that His divine power has given us to all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, in verse 4, by which we have been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So lust doesn't fulfill, but God does. Let's talk about a couple of lessons. Number one, our old pagan culture tells us that our past is the key to the future. They want to send you to the psychiatrist or somewhere and analyze what happened here, what happened there, and why you act this way and why you act that way. I can tell you why we act this way and why we act that way. Because of sin. But when we trust Christ, we just put the old things away. The Bible tells us don't worry about the past. Just put off the old and put on the new, right? You forget the past. What did Paul say? He says, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on towards the goal, towards the prize, towards the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I forget those things. What things? All things. That's right, all things. Now you remember the good things that God did in your life. You remember, like David, he said, I killed a bear with my bare hands, and I killed the lion with my bare hands, and now I can kill this uncircumcised Philistine giant because God was with me, right? You remember the victories that God has done through you. But you don't dwell on the past victories. You don't dwell on the past defeats. But you press on towards the future. You don't let the past hold you down. Isn't that what Hebrews says? He says, you know, let us run this race with endurance, laying aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. What are those weights? Things that hold us down, those useless things that we hang on to, that we just need to put them in the past. They're done. They were part of the old life. If we know Christ, we say, that doesn't matter anymore. Yes, I did this. Yes, this was wrong. Yes, this was sinful. But guess what? God forgave me. And I need to move on. It's hard to do, but that's what we're supposed to do. Number two, culture seems to think that what we feel has replaced what we believe. Remember, what you believe determines how you behave. Paul didn't feel like getting beat and whipped and shipwrecked and all those things. Abraham didn't feel like going out to another country. Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross. But he said, not my will, but thine be done. Because guess what? We need to know what Jesus said and act on that. Thirdly, if we were to renew our minds, how do we do it? Number one, through this, right? I mean, when you want to learn something, what do? You just saturate yourself with it, right? And that's what we need to do. We need to saturate ourselves in the Word of God and prayer and let the Word of God reveal the sin and the things we need to change. And then we let that prayer cleanse us. We confess to God and ask Him to help us change those things and get rid of those things. And so that's what God wants us to do in our lives. So we have the Word of God, and what did He say? We have everything that pertains to life and godliness. What does that mean? That we have everything we need to live this Christian life, right? Mm-hmm. We don't need anything else. Jesus said in John 14, I did not leave you as orphans. And if He didn't leave us as orphans, He'll be with us. He'll give us what we need to live the Christian life. Let's begin to put off that old man. Even though Christ, if we've trusted Christ, has in a sense made us a new creation, let us work out that which God has worked in us. Begin to put off those things that He says are wrong. and examine ourselves and see what there is. David said, you know, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me, right? What was he saying? He said, sometimes there's things inside of me that I don't know that I'm doing, but you can reveal them to me, God. And that's what we need to do, is let God seek those things in our lives that we're doing. And if you don't know Christ, you need to trust Christ, because you can't put off and you can't put on until you've trusted Christ. And that's a matter of saying, God, forgive me. God, save me. God, take me to heaven one day because of what Jesus did on the cross. That baptism won't get you into heaven. Good works won't get you into heaven. Communion won't get you into heaven. Joining the church won't get you into heaven. But the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what we call faith, right? The Bible says, God says, whoever believes in him, believes what? That Jesus is God, that he died for your sins. And there's nothing you can do to earn it, to deserve it, to pay for it. But as the old song says, Jesus paid it all. He didn't leave anything for us to do, folks. He did it all. And he says, if you will believe, I will forgive you and I will save you and I will cleanse you and make you a new creation. Well, let's pray and close. Father, we thank you for that word today that you have put on and you've put off. And Lord, part of our job is to work out that which you've worked in us. And Lord, we're only able to do that because you've began that good work. Paul says that I know that he is able to continue that which he started in me. That he won't quit, that he'll continue that work until the day of Christ. So Lord, help us to trust in you and to follow you and to walk in the Spirit, you said, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you, I pray today that they would trust you and believe in you and come to know you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't we sing number 34, Glory to His Name.
I'm the child without a home. I'm the widow left alone. So be loved to me.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to our program, The Least of These. Every week, we at His Love Ministries, we go out and reach out to those the world has forgotten. We go out to many places throughout the community. We conduct about 70 services every single month. And we go out and minister to those who can't get out, go to church services, those that have been forgotten by the community, those in nursing homes, assisted living facilities, mental health facilities, even the prisons and the jails. And so as we go out and minister to the least of these, we're trying to reach them with the soul-saving message of Jesus Christ. And he is the only way to get to heaven. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father but by me. Every week we're out there trying to minister to these folks, and every week we're in the trenches just giving them the gospel, trying to grow them, trying to strengthen them. Many of them are unable, or all of them actually, are unable to be able to go out to services. And so we go out to them. And it's a job that we love because God has called us to it. And so if you like what you hear with our podcast, our main website is hisloveministries.net. You can go over there and you can help us fulfill our mission, reaching out to those the world has forgotten, to the least of these. Because Jesus said, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. And so if you want to help us, go out to our website. There's a Donate Now button. You can click on it and donate directly to us. Or you can send us a regular mail, Post Office Box 30513, Savannah, Georgia, 31410. Thank you very much, and God bless you for helping us.